Good morning and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels, heard each week here on the Gospel Radio Network. This is a program where each week we examine the life of Jesus Christ as found in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At this time in our studies, we have been studying events of the last week and is Jesus' last days of public teaching. And today, we come to a very important chapter in the New Testament, and that is Matthew chapter 24, as we're going to look at Jesus' prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem. There is a great deal of false teaching that centers around this chapter. So let's take the time, somewhat lengthy, but let's read through the chapter, and then we'll come back and look at it. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take care of anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that servant says, if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So now let's go back and look at our text for today. The disciples begin asking Jesus questions in verses 1 through 3. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. So Jesus leaves the temple for the last time. The disciples wanted to impress Jesus with the splendor of the temple buildings. But Jesus, the one who left the glory of heaven, had seemed far greater than any human mind could even endeavor to build. Verse 2. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus gives them a response that they certainly did not expect, and it would be an utter shock to them. The temple was the most glorious building of all, and Jesus is saying that it would be utterly destroyed. Josephus described the mountain as the temple as being like a mountain covered with snow. Verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus had obviously shaken the disciples with his comments. And so the disciples approached him. Mark, in his account, reveals this to be Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were concerned and came to Jesus with their concerns. They wanted to know when the temple would be destroyed and what would be the sign of the end of the world coming. They did not believe anything less than the end of the world could destroy the temple. But Jesus said nothing in reference to this being the end of time. These disciples were thinking of the end of the world, but that is not what Jesus is referring to. Now, in the next verses, we see signs the end of Jerusalem is nearing. Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" So Jesus warns the disciples not to be deceived by the false Christ. Jesus understood the dangers of false teachers, and he wanted them to be prepared. Verse 6, "And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." About 40 years would pass until Jesus' prophecy would come to fulfillment with the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. Those 40 years would be filled with constant wars and rumors of wars. 40 years that were filled with famines, disease and earthquakes and various natural disasters. In fact, Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30 mentions a great famine in the days of Claudius Caesar. Albert Barnes, in his commentary, noted, he said, "Several great earthquakes are reported for that time period by ancient writers. Tacitus mentions one in the reign of Claudius at Rome, and says that in the reign of Nero, the cities of Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossae were overthrown, and the celebrated Pompeii was overwhelmed and almost destroyed by an earthquake." But Jesus is saying that all of these tragedies were the beginning of sorrows, not the end. Verse 9 said, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Persecution awaited the saints. Many saints would die as martyrs, and they would be hated by the world. These persecutions can be viewed throughout the book of Acts. Verse 10, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." The days around the fall of Jerusalem would be difficult, and many saints would fall away in those perilous times, and that is still the case today. Verse 11, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." During perilous times, false teachers tend to arise in great numbers. Today is a great example, just as it was in the first century. Verse 12, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." People's hearts grow cold when sin is rampant. Today, the first century, or any time. In a day when many grow cold because of sin, though, there are some whose hearts grow stronger in love. Some will dig deeper into their resolve to love when the truth is out of season. Verse 13 says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." The reference here is not to the end of time, as evidenced by verse 34. The end referred to here is the end of the Jewish system, and this would be brought about by the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. By the time of the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, the gospel had been proclaimed to all the world. The end had come for the Jewish system. Verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The end would come about 40 years after Jesus prophesied these things. Next, we see the abomination of desolation in verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. The twisting of the scripture here is at the heart of premillennial doctrine. The Holy Spirit knew this and gives us a warning that goes unheeded by so many today when he said, whoever reads, let him understand. We must avoid jumping to conclusions and examine the scriptures. Bob Winton, in his commentary, said the millennial view requires the restoration of the Jews, the rebuilding of the temple, the return of the Old Testament priesthood and worship, and so on. But John chapter 4 and verse 21 says that under Christ's system, the place of worship would no longer be in Jerusalem. And the book of Hebrews shows that the Old Testament system ended forever. Now, as we move forward, the disciples were told by Jesus they were to flee the abomination of desolation in verses 16 through 22. Verse 16 says, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, much to the dismay of premillennialism, this verse is directed only to those in Judea and only those at that time and place. The Christians would need to flee and find safety in the face of the invading Roman army when the day came in AD 70. Verse 17 says, let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. A man on the housetop, which in those days was flat and people spent much of their time on the rooftops, when he saw the Roman army coming, he needed to pass along the rooftops, not go inside and gather belongings. He just needed to flee. Verse 18 says, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. So the same principle would apply to a man working in the field. Verse 19 says, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. How difficult escape would be for the pregnant or nursing mother. It would be difficult if it was in winter due to the cold and exposure. It would be difficult on the Sabbath, for the gates of the city would be closed, and the Jews would enforce the travel laws of the Sabbath, which they still kept, even though Jesus had nailed them to the cross. Verse 21 says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. It would be the most horrific time that one could imagine. The historian Josephus reported that over 1.1 million Jews died at Jerusalem during the siege, and 100,000 were captured. Verse 22 says, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Indeed, had God not shortened the assault for the sake of the church, no one would have survived. And so Jesus now goes on to warn about the deceptions of false teachers, beginning in verse 23. Then, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Jesus strongly warns that false teachers would arrive during the siege of Jerusalem. And they did. They would sway many people and pull them into their deceptions. They would be so persuasive that many of the elect would be deceived and fall into their lies and schemes. Even today, many are deceiving man, for they fail to listen to the warnings of Christ. Verse 26. Therefore, if they say to you, "Look, he is in the desert," do not go out. Or, "Look, he is in the inner rooms," do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. No man would know when the coming destruction of Jerusalem was going to take place, any more than any of the false prophets of our time have known when the Lord is going to return. No man knows such things, only God. Verse 28 says, "For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together." Israel was about to die, and the eagles, thus Rome, were about to feast upon her. Now in verse 29 and following, we see incredible events that are about to take place. Verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Following those days of persecution or tribulation, Jerusalem would fall in AD 70. Jesus gives figurative reference to the celestial bodies. We see similar language in the Old Testament and the book of Revelation describing the fall of nations and rulers. In verse 30, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." The Jewish system was centered in Jerusalem, though it was no longer in power. Jesus Christ now reigns in heaven and earth over his kingdom, the kingdom that will never fail, the kingdom that will reign over the kingdoms of this earth. The Romans would also fall soon. Verse 31, "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth, of heaven, to the other." The kingdom of heaven is among and with men, and the gospel is spread to the four winds. The disciples had gone into all the world and preached the gospel to every creature. Now, beginning in verse 32, Jesus gives us the parable of the fig tree. "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Jesus uses the parable of the fig tree to point out the nearness of the events concerning the fall of Jerusalem. He points out that many of these present would see it happen in their lifetime. This once again shows the falseness of the premillennial doctrine that these verses have been about the second coming of the Lord. Verse 35 points out that though this earth and sky will pass away, the word of the Lord endures forever. And now as we get to verse 36, it speaks of that day and the hour. "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Jesus now turns his discussion and moves forward to events concerning the end of time. Jesus himself does not know when that time will be, only the Father. Christ knew all the details concerning the earlier events. But notice that now he does not know the precise details of the second coming. And so we are to watch and pray. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing his teeth. Life will be going on as usual. People will be marrying and making a living, and they will not know that the Lord is about to come even 5 minutes ahead of time. There will be no time to flee like in A.D. 70. The Lord returns. The dead in Christ arise, and the living are called up, and time is no more. The judgment begins, and this earth will be destroyed. Jesus warns us to watch and pray, and be ready, to keep your lamps all trimmed and bright. In summary of this scripture, Brother Roy Deaver once wrote concerning this passage. He noted six things. One, the fact of his coming. Two, the importance of watching. Three, the unexpectedness of his coming. Four, the suddenness of his coming. Five, the fact that proper preparation can be made. And finally, sixth, the necessity of being ready. Our time is up for today. I want to thank you for joining me. We will continue, if the Lord wills, next week to look at events of that week leading up to the cross. I hope you'll join me. So until next time, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a great day.